Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the fifth week of our series called Jesus Is, and this week, Pastor Josh Finkley explains that Jesus is greater. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? You guys good? It is Easter morning. It is Easter. Come on. It is Easter. Yeah? It's a good day. It's a great day. The Easter at the Rock. I am glad that you guys are here. I'm just going to say it right now. It's my first time in a year that I've had a chance to hang out with Miss Wanda. Will y'all give it up for Miss Wanda up here? Woo! She used to always sit on the front row with me, and it's good. We're going to preach today, okay? We're going to preach, all right? So, hey, if you are new with us, thank you for being here. My name is Josh, and I'm one of the pastors, and just excited, you know, just to enjoy this service with you. And whether you come all the time or maybe if you're new, man, I'm glad you're here. And I do want to say this if you're new. I really want to encourage you to stop by the Connect Corner. That if you're on campus here, go to the Connect Corner, because I would love to meet you after service. We'd love to give you a gift and just connect with you that way. I know if you're online or maybe you're watching this on demand at a later time, then I want to encourage you to connect with us as well. And you can just go to the digital Connect Corner that is right there. And you can do that if you're watching on a Sunday right now or if you're watching sometime in the future. We want to take care of you and come alongside of you. So I want to encourage you that way. All right. Now, today, all I'm going to do is make a statement. I'm going to talk for about the next 25, maybe 30 minutes at tops. And all I want to do in our time together is make a statement. Now, my goal is you'll agree with the statement. That's the goal. That by the end of this service, that you will make a personal decision to say, yes, I agree with that statement. That you'll be there. And the statement comes from what you heard the kids saying in the video earlier. The statement is based on this idea of Jesus is blank. And there's a lot of words you could use to fill in the blank. Now, the kids in the video, they said Jesus is nice, and Jesus is holy, and Jesus is a hero, he's a superhero, that he is everything. And I would agree with all of those things. But I'm going to put a different word with it that I hope you'll connect with. And the word that I want to say is simply this, that Jesus is greater. That's the statement. And you might say, okay, I came to church today just to hear that. Okay, yep, I'm in. Or you might go, I don't know. And here's reality. I don't really even think it's debatable. I know you might want to debate it. Maybe you come, you're new at faith, and you're like, I don't know if Jesus is really greater. And again, I'm hoping by the end of this time that you'll agree with me, all right? Because I believe it's really not very debatable. There's some things that are debatable when it comes to whether something's greater or not, right? Like you have your sports teams, and you could say, well, my sports team is greater than your sports team, and we could debate that. But some things in life, you just simply don't debate. And let me prove it. When it comes to donuts, there's Krispy Kreme and there's Dunkin', right? And there's not a debate on which one is greater. Dunkin' is less than. And Krispy Kreme is greater. Would you agree with me on that? Krispy Kreme is greater. Hey, Tony. Take that and pass it out to your family, okay? So Krispy Kreme is greater. They have figured out the donut thing, okay? They got that. But what they fail at is the donut holes. Like I don't like Dunkin' Donuts, but when it comes to donut holes, Krispy Kreme is less than, and Dunkin' Donut Munchkins, they the real deal. And again, I don't know how they figured this out and suck at that, but this is good, okay? You know what I mean? So I don't think it's very debatable. Here's another one that I don't think is debatable. Starbucks or C3 coffee. You know what I mean? It's Starbucks if you like burnt coffee, okay? C3 if you like good coffee, all right? Now, I know I'm a little biased because as a church, we operate the C3 coffee bars, but I just believe that. Here's another one. Again, I don't think this is debatable. That is a cup of bacon. Bacon is greater than every other food known to man. Bacon is greater. Do I get an amen on that? This came straight from C3. How far back should I go with this one? Like we're going to take up an offering right now and see. I'm actually going to give it to the young man who just got accepted into governor's school. You can eat it all, pass it out, do what you want. But you see what I'm saying? Like there's some things that you just go, well, this isn't debatable. You know what I mean? Like bacon, not debatable. Here's another one. I know I live in Horry County. And some of you love your white trucks. Sorry. And you might say that this is greater, but I will say the black Jeep Gladiator is always greater than the white truck. And I know some of you are like, you just offended me. I'm sorry, but I drive a black Jeep Gladiator. But anyway, there's some things that you just go, that's greater. I thought I had the greater shotgun. Now, understand, like I've never owned a shotgun in my life, but this fall, my father-in-law passed down a shotgun to me. And so I had this shotgun. I didn't know if it was any good or not. And Timmy, one of our pastors, was hanging out at my house. I said, Timmy, I got a new shotgun. I said, I don't know if it's worth anything. And I showed it to him. He's like, dude, that's a nice gun. I was like, how nice? And he looked it up on the internet. He goes, that nice. I was like, ooh, that's a good gun. He goes, that's a great gun. I was like, yeah, it is. It is mine, you know? And I never shot it or anything. Well, last weekend, I went to a fundraiser for one of the ladies of our church. And it was out in like the Hemingway area. And it was a skeet shoot place, like a clay pigeon place. And it's like designed like a golf course. I don't know if you've ever heard of these before. You know what I mean? But you go like hole to hole and you shoot clay pigeons. And I've never really done that before. But I knew I had a great gun. So I showed up on the campus and I didn't know if I was going to be any good, but I knew I had a great gun. So I'm just flaunting my gun, right? And guys are seeing it like, man, that's a great looking gun. I was like, yeah, you know, that's what I hear, you know what I mean? And so I'm excited and I go out and hole one, hole two, hole three, hole four, I'm getting skunked. Like I couldn't hit a single clay pigeon. After five holes, I'd hit one. All right, one, that's it. And the owner, or at least somebody who was highly connected to the place, he came by and he looked at me and said, young man, which I appreciated that starting off. And then secondly, he said, you got a great looking gun. I was like, I know. He goes, you're not gonna hit anything with that gun. I was like, what? I thought you said it's a great gun. He goes, it's a great gun, but it's not designed to shoot clay pigeons like this. He goes, well, this gun, and then he went into some Greek and talked basically and was telling me all things about geometry, and you're going to have to shoot here to hit this. And I was like, I don't get it. And Timmy looked at me when he left. He said, you need to use my secondary shotgun. Just use it. It'll be easier. And you know what I said? No. Because this is my great gun. This is the greater gun. And I kept shooting. I went halfway through the contest and hit one pigeon the whole time. Meaning I lucked into that one. Well, finally, I grabbed his secondary shotgun and all of a sudden I started pegging him. And I quickly realized, although I thought my gun was great, it was less than. And here's the reality. When it comes to my shotgun or a truck or donuts, it doesn't matter if you're wrong. But there are some areas of life where it matters. And if you base your whole life on this idea of other things that are less than Jesus, well, you're going to have a less than life. I want you to hear that again. If you base your whole life and you try to find life in your likes or your follows or your money or your career, you're going to come to the end and you're going to realize it's less than what Jesus offers. Because what I have found is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. And again, my goal is that by the time we're done, that all of you will agree with me, that you'll say, that's a statement I'm willing to bank my life on. That's a statement I'm willing to live the rest of my life behind. That I am going to believe that Jesus is greater. And then I'm going to live that way. And when you do, here's what you'll find. You'll find peace. When you actually live out the fact that Jesus is greater, then you'll actually find peace. And I think peace is something that we all want. We want peace of heart. We want peace of mind. We want peace with our roommates. We want peace with our neighbors. We want peace with our coworkers. We want peace with our spouse. We want peace with our parents. We want peace with our kids. And we want peace with the in-laws. I mean, some of y'all are going to lunch with your in-laws today. I know you're looking for peace there, right? You know, you're like, come on, I need it. But most importantly, what I think is we're looking for peace with God. Because I think we all recognize that, man, there's something that is out of sync there. And when we're out of sync, there's something in our heart that says, I need peace. I need to connect. And see, when mankind was created, we had peace. We had perfect fellowship with God. But sin came into the world. And when sin came in the world, from that day on, we have been out of sync. There has been a rift in the relationship. And mankind has tried time after time after time to get peace with God. Like I don't know if you recognize this or not, but every faith-based system in the world is all about, well, how do I appease God? And if I can appease God, and if I can get right with God, well, then I'm okay. And people try to do it through good works, and people try to do it through sacrifices. I mean, that's what the old Jewish system was based upon. The book of Hebrews is a book that we've been studying. And the book of Hebrews, the writer is saying, guys, quit going back to the old system. Because the old system was about, well, how do I make peace with God? But the writer is writing in the conclusion of his book. He's saying, this is how you have peace. And this is what he says. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. He says this. This is the only verse we're going to look at today. I'm going to look at it three different times. He says, now the God of peace. Let me just stop right there. He says, now the God of peace. That we live... People live in a society and an idea that I got to make peace with God. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, you got it wrong. God is the God of peace. And see, that's what makes Christianity different. That's what makes Jesus greater. It's not about us getting to God to find peace. It's about God coming to us to make peace. Can I say that again? It's not about us getting to God to find peace. It's about God getting to us to make peace. And God made peace through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus came to this earth to do. And when you recognize that, you'll say, oh, wow, Jesus is greater. It reminds me of some friends of mine from church here. Their name's Megan and Andrew. Megan and Andrew started coming to church right about the first of the year. They recently moved here from Las Vegas. And when they got here, they were trying to start a new life. They were engaged and they were like, we got to start a new life and let's give God a try. They'd never really been to church in their life, never given faith a try. But they're like, we're here. There's a church on the corner. Let's go check it out. And they started coming. I started to hear their story because one morning I was going into the coffee bar and Megan caught me in the parking lot. She's like, I just pulled in the parking lot. I was just praying, saying, I need to talk to you. And I was just hoping that maybe I would see you here. And sure enough, as soon as I pulled in, you got out of your truck and you started walking across the parking lot. And I knew God was just making it possible for us to talk. When we started talking, I said, well, what's going on? And as soon as I asked that, she just started crying. I was like, well, let's go inside the bar and let's sit down. And she just started sharing the first part of her testimony. In these kind of words, she basically said, there's conflict all over my life. That I'm not at peace. That there's not conflict, there's not peace in our relationship. There's not peace in our life. There's conflict going on all around us. So we thought we'd try church. And it's been good. And while we're there, like something's happening. But both of us, while we're there, like while you're preaching and while the music's going on, like we just get real antsy. We just start like just feeling weird. And I was like, yeah, I've heard that before. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit saying, we're in conflict and I'm trying to make peace. That's what God's doing. Maybe that's happening to you right now. That's the Holy Spirit saying, I'm trying to make peace with you. And when we started talking a little bit more, I said, you need to just keep trying. You just need to keep seeking out God. And sure enough, they said, okay, we will. And very quickly, they got involved in our Kids Rock team and started serving there. And then they jumped into a Sunday night young adult small group and found some community there. And then they started talking to us, and they're like, yeah, we want to get married. We want to do this. Is there any way we can have some premarital counseling? We're like, yeah. So I sat and started just talking to them. And in each conversation, you could just see them leaning into Jesus more and more and more. And it was the last time we were meeting before their wedding, and they said, we need Jesus. And we want to find this Jesus that you keep talking about. And we're ready to take a step of faith and a step of baptism. And it was so cool because I baptized them. I had the privilege of baptizing them here on a Sunday and then performing their wedding the following Saturday. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good? And here's why it's good. They wrote me a card after their wedding, and I remember reading it, and I was just blown away. A lot of words in it, but the words that just kept standing out is, we never thought we could find peace, and we never thought we could find life like this. You know what they're saying? They're saying that we found Jesus, and we recognize that Jesus is greater. That Jesus is greater. That's what they recognize. And he's not just greater because he brings peace, but he's greater because he brings life also. Hebrews 13:20. Let's look at it again. It says it this way. It says, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus. And now again, I'm going to pause right there. Our God of peace who brought Jesus up from the dead. That Jesus is greater because he came to this earth to make peace, and then he went to the grave to bring life. And I know that sounds weird because he went to the grave means he died, but it was through his death and his resurrection that he was actually able to bring life to us. And again, that separates him from all other gods. All other gods. It separates him from all other faiths. It's because Jesus is the only one who ever predicted his death, his burial, and resurrection, and then pulled it off. There's a lot of prophets out there. There's a lot of religious people out there who will say all kinds of things. But none of them has ever said, I will die, I will be buried, and I will rise from the dead, and then pull it off. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And by doing that, he brings life. By going to the cross, he brings life. By going to the grave, he brings life. By going to the tomb, he brings life. By rising from the dead, he brings life. That's what he's done. And I know you might sit there and go, yeah, Josh, but how do we know that's real? I mean, that was a long time ago. I mean, was that just some stories? Is that just a myth? Maybe it's a fable. I mean, maybe some things like that kind of happened, but did it really happen? And I believe there is enough evidence that points to the fact that it truly happened. That you can look at the Bible and the Bible testifies about it. But you don't have to just stick with the Bible. You can go to history books and history books report it. That you can look at art and culture and literature, they reveal it. That's what's going on. And here's what they reveal. They reveal that a virgin gave birth to him. That an angel proclaimed him. That the disciples followed him. And that the people loved him. Until one day he was betrayed at the table. He was confronted and arrested in the garden. He was put on trial in the courtyard where the soldiers whipped him, where they took him to the cross to crucify him, where they put him on top of the hill to kill him. That's what the Bible, the history books, and culture tells us. Literature and art tell us. But it goes a step further than that. It doesn't just end there. I want you to go even further. That the governor approved it. The religious leaders witnessed it. The soldiers verified it. And the people proclaimed it. That Joseph and Nicodemus buried him. The guards watched over him. The disciples were lost without him as the ladies went to anoint him. But hold on. Because death couldn't kill him. You with me? Death couldn't kill him. Death couldn't kill him, that the grave couldn't hold him, that the stone couldn't stop him, that Satan couldn't contain him, and hell couldn't keep him, because Jesus had breath again, that he had life again, that death was behind him, and life was in front of him, and that's what makes Jesus greater. That's what makes him greater. He brings a greater peace, and he brings a greater life, and he brings a greater love. It's a love that is forever. It's a love that is eternal. It's a love that is birthed in a promise that he'll never leave you or forsake you. I want you to think about that for a second. It's a promise that he made. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. It says, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and he ratified an eternal covenant. All that word means is promise. He ratified an eternal promise, a contract with his blood. Meaning this, when he poured out his blood, when he rose from the dead, that he gave a covenant, a promise, a contract to us that he would never leave, that he would never forsake, that he would walk beside you, that he would be your great shepherd, your great leader, your great Messiah, that he'll do those things for you. He'll do those for me. He'll do them for us. And again, we have testimony after testimony after testimony about this. You can go all through the Bible. You can go back to the Old Testament and you can see that when the Israelites were leaving Egypt and they came up to the Red Sea and they didn't know what was in front of them, they're like, how do we go? All of a sudden, God split the waters. He said, I got this. That when they're out in the desert and they're hungry, he gives them manna to eat. That when they're cold at night, he gives them a fire in the sky. When they're hot during the day, he gives them a cloud of shade. That when Daniel is in front of the lions, he shuts the mouths of lions. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery pit, he showed up as the fourth man. That you can go all through the Old Testament and see this, but then you can see in the New Testament as well. You can see Jesus healing the blind, the sick, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the mute. That you see Jesus coming alongside of sinners and outcasts and the lonely. That he said, I will not abandon you. I love you. But you don't just have to look at the history books. You don't just have to look at the scriptures. You can look at the testimony of people. Because the testimony of people say the very same thing. They say that he is greater. And I have proof of this. And the proof is your own testimonies. Because over the last 4 weeks, people have been going over to that corner and they've been writing on that greater than board how Jesus is greater. And these are some of the things they said. And you won't be able to see their words, but you'll be able to see their writings. And think about all the different writings there. A bunch of different writings. And here's what they say. I'll read them for you. That one up here in the upper left corner. That one says this. It says, Jesus is greater than Parkinson's. I don't know who wrote that, but they're testifying. They're saying, Jesus is greater than Parkinson's. Somebody put, Jesus is greater than cancer. And a little boy during the last hour sat right there and he sung this song that Tyler's getting ready to sing. And he sung that Jesus is greater. And I can't help but think about whoever wrote that Jesus is greater than cancer, with a little guy in the front row with cancer saying, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. And somebody wrote on the board that Jesus is greater than my addiction, that he's greater than my financial problems, that he's greater than my job loss, that he's greater than my hardships. Testimony after testimony of testimony saying, Jesus is greater. Because he offers a greater love. So that's the statement I have for you today. It's a statement that Jesus is greater. And here's what I want to challenge you to do right now, is I want to challenge you, just as the band does, just as Tyler does, just as I am, that we will recognize that Jesus is greater. And everything else has to be right here. Everything else has to be on the outside of the greater than marks. Because Jesus is the only one. And today, make it a statement in your life. See, I can make the statement. Scriptures can make the statement. History books can make the statement. Songs can make the statement. The group can sing about it as a statement. But you have to personally make the statement. On your own. Well, how do you do it? Maybe you do it by taking communion and you say, Jesus, you're greater. Maybe you do it by going over to that greater than board and writing on that board, Jesus, you're greater. Maybe you do it through a step of baptism that you say, Jesus, you're greater. However you need to do it today, proclaim it as your statement. Sing this song as your statement, as your proclamation that Jesus is greater. Sing it to him. Verbalize it to him. Verbalize it to those around you. Take a step of baptism. Come to the Connect Corner for prayer. Share it with somebody else. But you do what you got to do to make sure it's not just a statement I'm making or we're making, but it's a statement that you are making. Because Jesus, he's greater.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.